Hey everyone, welcome to the Broken and Redeemed podcast, where we dive into real conversations about faith, struggles, and the things we don't always talk about in church. I'm Eric Ferguson.
And I'm Jenny Ferguson.
And I'm Jessica DeVoe.
We're just three friends who love Jesus and aren't afraid to wrestle with the hard questions.
Whether you're married, single, struggling with doubt, or trying to find your place in the church, this podcast is for you.
So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's get started.
Have you ever been asked, so, when are the kids coming? Sometimes it's said with a smile, sometimes with concern, but it always seems to carry the weight of expectation. But what if the answer isn't simple? What if there's longing, confusion, or even pain behind that question?
Today, we're continuing our discussion from the previous episode. We'll be talking about the pressure, the quiet struggles, and what it means to trust God when the timeline for having children doesn't look like you thought it would.
Hey guys, you ready to get into part two of this discussion on health and marriage without kids, though you long for them?
Yeah.
Yep.
On that note, let's dive deeper into reflections and biblical perspective on being childless. We also discuss practical encouragement for couples in similar situations, plus what the church can do to come alongside those who are struggling. So, was there a specific moment or scripture that helped shifted your perspective on God's timing?
So there weren't really specific moments, I would say, but definitely some scriptures. We had some scriptures that help remind us of God's timing and keep our eye on God's timing. I love the verse Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
And for me, Ecclesiastes 3:1 is great because it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." And the next verse is great. It's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted.
Time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to weep, a time to laugh.
Yeah, in verse 4. And there is a time and a season for all things, but God is the one who determines the timing of these things. And so learning to trust him, it's like Jenny said, it's not been a singular moment, but it's been a learning process, a journey where we're learning little bits along the way.
I love this verse, and I actually found a little plaque that has this Bible verse on it. And there would be times where I was just like, I feel hopeless. And I'm just like, why is this happening? Is there any good ever going to come out of something like this? And then I see, like, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. It's like, okay. Yes, that's a good reminder.
How do you balance hope for the future with gratitude for the present? Has that been a struggle for you guys?
For me, I've learned that I have worth and value whether I have kids or not. As a result, I can have gratitude for the present, and I've learned to live in the moment more.
For me, it's similar, I would say, to that. Just remembering that our future is with Christ, and it's not built on what we do in this life per se, or what we achieve in this life per se. And so knowing that my ultimate home will be with God one day is very encouraging, and it will be an end of all the suffering and the sadness in this life when I reach that eternal destiny. So it's a comfort to know that the future is bright as I trust in him and learn to grow. And I know that God will continue to help us through it. That's also a hope. And that he's also given us people to help us through this journey as well. And that my wife and I have each other. Those things help balance out the sadness, the disappointment that we face through this journey, I would say.
Leading into that disappointment, have you ever felt resentment creeping in? Even just like questioning God, why is this happening to me? And how did you work through that?
At times, I have felt resentment in a way because, again, it feels like we're being held back from our natural potential in a way. And remembering to be grateful for what God has done for us and what he has brought us through helps, kind of pointing back to the previous question, because I didn't touch on the gratitude aspect, I realized. Being thankful for what God has done for us, the people that he's placed in our lives, the love we have for each other, Jenny and I as husband and wife, and how we support each other. Being truly thankful, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, helps us get through these times too, because it helps us focus on the positive things and not get overcome by the negative things. And it helps us remember to be thankful to God who has given us all things in this life. And he does help us day in, day out.
Sometimes when I felt resentment come in, I go back to Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I have to truly believe that verse face value.
Amen.
Plans to give you hope in the future. And if I choose to have resentment, then this verse and others and coming to actually believe them and apply them. I grew up as a Christian in a Christian home, and reading the Bible as a kid before going through hard stuff is different than
like going through it.
Then when you go through hard stuff and you're like, wow, this verse, I've read it before, but now I'm actually able to apply it. And it's very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
So in this example of not feeling resentment, there's a lot of times where it's like, it's not fair. And scripture has helped pull me back and help ground me and anchor me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I resonate with that a lot, actually. I have felt that too.
And that's a good thing going through a trial like this, mm-hmm. is getting to the point where you're living out, truly living out your faith, mm-hmm. and your faith is becoming your own.
So would you say this season has also taught you to trust in God's character, or kind of revealed more about his character in a way that you wouldn't have learned about him otherwise?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't think you truly see the kindness and compassion of God unless you go through hard things. When times are good and everything is where you think it should be, you think you understand God's love and compassion and his grace. But I find that you actually don't. Until you've actually gone through the hard stuff or are going through hard stuff, and you're actually being compelled to lean on him and seek his face and wrestle with him through the hard times in prayer, through the hard times with fellow believers and friends, you don't actually realize God's love and his mercy and his compassion and empathy.
You understand it on a different level than yes. you have in the past. And I feel like yes. going through trials really does refine you as a person and really actually makes you question, what do you actually believe about God?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You can say, oh, I believe all these things about God. But then when you come through something hard and you're like, oh, I really have to think about this. And it's hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I actually want to take him at his word, or do I actually want to go do my own thing?
It's realizing that God truly knows better than us.
Mm-hmm. And that is also hard to admit, that because when you're in situations and you're like, how is this good right now?
Mm-hmm.
This is really hard. And there doesn't seem like there's any way out or there's any like hope for the future.
Bingo.
Yeah. And we don't understand his plan. I love the verse, Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're just a small piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see the big picture.
And like God says these things, not like to dismiss us.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to understand what's mm-hmm. going on while it's happening, because we don't see the big picture like mm-hmm. God does. But then you come out of it, you might still not fully understand, but you do see how God's helped you grow through that. And sometimes even actually, like, I went through this for a specific reason to grow me in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I don't understand his thoughts and ways, I have to have faith that his plans are to give us a hope and future and to prosper and not to harm us, even though it feels like we're being harmed, like with the health thing,
mm-hmm.
literally harm. It's like, I'm being harmed. I'm going through so much harm right now, but it's for a reason that I don't understand and may never understand in this life. And that's okay. Coming to terms with that, and that it's okay.
Do you feel like coming through those hard things in recent years, you look back and you see a bit of why God's put you through it in some things that have changed in you, in how you view God or how you view life? going through these sufferings?
Well, I'm definitely have more patience now. Mm-hmm. I'm more leaning on God for his timing instead of mine. Mm-hmm. And I've struggled with that in the past. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him.
Amen.
One of the things you've told me is that because you've gone through so many things, you're a very empathetic person.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And you easily are compassionate towards other people, even if you don't understand what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And other people have a really hard time with that. But you just don't seem to have a problem with that at all. And you're like, it's because I've had to work through that.
Yeah, even if I don't understand exactly what person is going through, I can still have empathy because I see they're struggling. It's like, I've been there where I didn't feel comfortable or didn't know I could talk about it. And I wish to be that person so the person doesn't feel alone.
You're really good at doing that.
Yes, you are. And actually, that's one of the biggest things that God's used you and your circumstances to teach me. And I'm still learning because I'm not the most patient person a lot of the time. And I feel like I have gotten a bit better over time with that, but I still have a lot to learn. But God's used you in that way to help me in that and still continue to teach me that lesson.
Also, going through the process of booking a surgery in another country and not knowing how we're going to pay for it, that was a huge leap in faith for me. And I felt such peace when I did it, even though it was scary. But it was, I have felt peace. I was like, it's just going to work out. I don't know how, but it's going to.
Mm-hmm.
So that God definitely increased my faith and his provision through this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys say your prayer life has changed or your prayers have changed over time?
I would say definitely my prayers have changed over time. I still struggle with, on many occasions, still asking God why in my prayers and like, why is this happening? But I am learning more to just bear my struggles before God, minus the why, and just flat out say what I'm struggling with and just saying, God, I don't know why this is happening to me right now. I don't like it. It's hard. But I do understand that you are teaching me things through this. There are things I have yet to learn that you will teach me through these things. And that you will, by your grace, get me through it all and bring me out to the other side. And those are some of the things that are more in my prayers now than they used to be or have been, ever been.
Yeah, my prayers, I'd say, changed from, God, please help me get the surgery sooner, so I'm not in so much pain, to like, your will be done. And continuing that with kids and then after surgery and feeling worse in other areas after surgery and with an unexpected, very long recovery, plans to give you hope in the future.
I think that verse is very key for you.
Yeah.
So with not having kids, what is something that is small but meaningful that friends or family have done to support you during this time, like with your health and with just everything that encompasses your life right now?
Oh gosh, where do we begin? I mean, the GoFundMe. You yep. mentioned that a lot.
Yeah.
I said
that was definitely not small.
That was huge.
I yeah. said small, Eric, but I guess you can go big.
I mean, yes, you did. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's one of the biggest.
That was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. That was the biggest, probably. Small things, like Jessica, during this time of things being a little bit difficult in our lives, you've, on occasion, just as you're coming over, you ask us, is there anything you guys need at the grocery store? Jenny gives you a list and you get all of it for us. Like, that is huge. Just being able to, you know, you help us out in that way is a real blessing. I've had my sister Carla's done this, and a few other people have done that for us, which has been great.
People inviting us to their house for dinner and good company.
Yeah, I think of one of our friends, Steven. He's really good with making food and stuff, and he's had me and guys over frequently at his place on Thursdays for just hanging out and dinner. which has been really great. And then last year, for half a year, we had a couple invite us over to their house every week up until they just had a baby recently. And
Josh and Tirza.
And they showed us so much love. And
Christian and Nastasia.
And our friends Christian and Nastasia, they've also opened up their home to us and others as well, just showing us love and feeding us, which has been really great. And just also people praying for us. More recently this year, Jessica and us have been praying together on occasion. We'll just call each other at the end of the day and we'll start doing that again. Yeah, we have gotten off track of that, but it is something we have been doing this year, and it's been a wonderful thing to do where we talk a little bit about our days, and then we think about how we can pray for one another, which is really great.
I love the verse Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And it literally, when you're going through a really hard time and you have folks like you're just saying, and so many others praying for us and helping us, it literally feels like some of the burden is lightened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does.
If you could share one thing with a listener who might be in a similar situation with you as you guys, like, you know, with health and like everything that's impacted you, what would it be? What's something that you would share that might encourage someone who's struggling?
I would say, don't be shy to reach out to someone and find a community where you can talk about your struggles and have your faith built up. Struggling in silence, I would say, and I gotta be careful about saying this, is not a good thing, because I've tried to struggle with some things in my life in silence, and it does not serve me well, does not serve my wife well, does not serve my friends and family well, because I tend to get more bitter in my silence as I try to suppress it, push it down, dismiss it, say it's not really a big deal. When I talk with my friends about it, when I talk with my wife about it, it's like someone's come under the yoke, under the burden with me and just lifted it. And it just helps take the edge off it, helps me carry it.
I think some people might have a hard time, though, opening up about stuff because yes, they've probably been dismissed a lot.
Yeah, if you've been burned, it is very difficult. There are some things that I'm going through right now that I'm hesitant to talk about with people regarding my ability to read and do different things, because I've dismissed it for so long and I felt like it wasn't a big deal. And so I'm just starting to work through that right now. The last few days have been just so hard for me because, one, I feel lazy about it, because I've been comfortable with just living with it and not dealing with it. But then now I'm looking at it and I'm realizing how much damage it's doing to me by not dealing with it, how much damage it's doing to my relationships by not dealing with it.
Yep.
And God's putting the pressure on me a little bit to deal with it. And so I'm working at fighting through this thing regarding my reading and my ability to learn. I am so thankful, though, that I have talked to some people about it, and they've been supportive of me, and they've been encouraging me to pursue this, namely my wife encouraging me. But it's also part of the challenge of growing, learning to overcome your fear of people and talk to people. Yeah, sometimes we need to hear some hard things, and we need to be encouraged to move in certain directions. Sure. But there are also people out there that are super compassionate and super loving. They will listen to you.
And you got
to
find those people.
And they will love you through it all.
So how do you celebrate the present moments in your marriage, even while you're waiting for what you hope to come next?
How do we celebrate present moments? I got this. I just think of the moment sometimes when we're out doing something, Jenny, and we're like, let's go get a Chick-fil-A meal and split it. And just have a little bit of fun. And it's rare that we do this. It's very rare.
We have Chick-fil-A in Canada.
Woo! I love chicken.
Like, we only have like two.
We have more than that now. I'll hook it up.
Well, apparently we have more than that.
But, you know, every once in a while we take a moment, we do that. Or just we like, oh, let's just go to mom's house today or grandparents, you know, and enjoying those moments with people. Like this summer, also going to a couple parks together when it was nice and warm and it wasn't so brown and cold and wet outside and just enjoying life together.
And being thankful to God for each other every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too.
And that God gave us each other to help us go through the last few years of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in the meantime, continue dreaming of having kids just in case it is what God has in store for the future. Mm-hmm. And again, whether it's our own kids or adopting or fostering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say is a practical step that churches could take to support couples that are going through some struggles?
I was kind of thinking about this a little while ago, and I came up with this little tiny phrase of listen long and talk little, because I've had that problem growing up. I still have that problem sometimes where I will talk too much and I won't listen sometimes, like especially when my wife is going through something and she wants me just to listen so that she can talk through things. Sometimes I do much talking and little listening, and it's helpful to slow down and just be quiet and listen, hear her talk through things, tell her that I'm praying for her, tell her that, yeah, what you're going through is hard, and listening to her. And also, I still have to work on this. I need to be thanking her for being vulnerable to me, because that takes effort for her to do that. I appreciate it. I also need to work on verbally appreciating it so that she knows I appreciate it. How does she know what's going on in my head if I don't tell her?
Yeah, and then if someone opens up to you and is vulnerable with something that they're struggling with, I know I'm like, thanks for being vulnerable enough to talk to me about this. And I try to ask them how they're doing emotionally, spiritually, financially.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have an opinion on what they're saying, I keep it to myself. Unless it is something that is upbuilding and it's biblical, instead of saying what I think they should do, instead I offer to pray for them. I would love to pray someday on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I say, oh, that's really hard. I'm going to be praying for you. And then ask them how they're doing later.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on that praying on the spot thing too. I've seen you do it a couple times, Jessica, which is encouraging.
I'm working on it.
I know you're working on that too, but and that's
something catches people off guard. They're like, oh, it's like, yep, gonna do this.
And you know what? I know when people have done that for me, it's super encouraging.
That's why I started doing it, because people did it to me. I was like, you know what? That's a good practice. Just praying for people on the spot.
And also, I think calling each other and praying for one another, like on the spot there, is good too for us. I think it'll help us with that as well. It's just a thought that popped in my brain.
Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Mm, I love that verse.
So when we speak to folks, to have that on their mind of love and good deeds. I love that. It's a good reminder for me.
The kitty has invaded space again.
Nala is determined and she has now joined the group.
Nala, now is not the time. Well, actually, maybe it is the time, because we're kind of going to wrap this up. Do you guys have any extra
words of wisdom?
Jenny's like, don't look at me.
I don't know that I would call it words of wisdom, but anyway, I don't feel like I'm old enough for that to be said of me.
You don't have any gray hairs yet?
Not yet. Just again, like, encourage people to talk to one another. Be very open to listening to one another. And just be quick to listen, be quick to empathize, be very quick to pray for one another, and be more measured in what we say to one another. And I feel like that because I've had to work on that in my own life, I see how our society is very free and open with opinions, free and open to kind of shut down because it's uncomfortable to talk about things, but we're not very quick to listen to one another. Actually.
No, we're not. And we don't really want to understand each other either.
No.
Just like, this is my view and my opinion, and that's how it is.
Yeah. Or, this is really uncomfortable for me to hear this. I just kind of want to move on to something more peachy. And so I think it would serve us well to listen to each other and then genuinely encourage each other through scripture, prayer,
if someone says that they need help with something or they're struggling with something, be a listening ear, but also if I can help them in any way. Someday financially, that'd be nice, but also like a practical way to help them, like making a meal for someone, being there to take care of their kids if they have an appointment or something. I'd love to do that more as well.
Using your time and means as God gives them to you to serve others. Really important. Yeah. Appreciate that.
If there's one thing we hope you take from today's conversation, is that your worth isn't tied to whether or not you have children. Your value is secure in Christ, whether your family looks like what you dreamed of or not.
We've also learned that waiting seasons don't mean wasted seasons. There's purpose, growth, and even joy available right now, even in the longing.
And let's remember that community matters. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just show up for each other, without assumptions, without advice, just presence and love.
We'd love to hear your stories. How have you navigated the tension between longing and waiting? What has encouraged you along the way? We'd love to continue the conversation.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, would you take a moment to subscribe and leave a review? Your feedback helps us reach more people who need these conversations.
Next time, we're diving into another topic that doesn't get talked about enough: singleness and the church. What happens when you're single, content, or maybe not, and still navigating all the questions and expectations?
We'll be talking about real stories, cultural pressures, and what 1 Corinthians 7 really has to say about singleness. Thanks for joining us on the Broken and Redeemed podcast. We hope this conversation encouraged you and made you think.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It really helps others find the show.
And if you want to see what's coming next, follow us on social media.
Until then, remember to seek truth, extend grace, and stay rooted in Christ. We'll see you next episode.